Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Pearl Global Industries Limited's earnings call for Q2 and H1 FY26. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, please note that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shishir Gahoi, Head of Investor Relations of Pearl Global Industries Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone, and I am delighted to welcome you all to this earnings call for Q2 and FY26. I hope you all had an opportunity to review our press release and the investor presentation, which are available under the investor section of our website, and the same are uploaded on the BSE and NSE websites. To discuss our results, we have with us our Managing Director, Mr. Pallab Banerjee, and our Group CFO, Mr. Sanjay Gandhi. They will take you through our results and business performance, after which we will proceed for the question-and-answer session. Before we start, I just want to highlight that this call may include forward-looking statements based on the company's current views and expectations. Actual results could be different, as future performance is uncertain and involves risks that are hard to predict. I will now hand over the call to our MD, Mr. Pallab Banerjee. Over to you, Pallabji.
Thank you, Shishir. Good afternoon, everyone. In quarter two, financial year 26, we reported another quarter of encouraging performance. Our H1 of FY26 revenue crossed 2,500 crores mark with an improved profitability. And this is despite the little bit of uncertainty and volatile geopolitical environment we are all living in today. For H1 financial year 26, consolidated revenue stands at 2,541 crore. It grew up by 12.7% year-on-year, driven by improved product mix and higher realization from our country of origin of Indonesia and Vietnam. Our adjusted EBITDA, excluding the ESOP expenses, grew 18.4% year-on-year to rupees 236 crore, with an EBITDA of 9.3%. Now, if we exclude the tariff expenditures that we incurred and a little bit of losses that we had in our new facilities of Bihar and Guatemala, we would have standing at 10.6% EBITDA. Our strategy of geographical diversity has been working well for us, and we have been able to make a notable footprint across various markets of Australia, Japan, U.K., and EU, apart from the U.S. From a strategic standpoint, we are broadening our client base even for India into the countries of Japan, Australia, and the U.K., which is supported by favorable trade agreements and growing retailer interest in these particular markets. India-European Union FTA negotiation is yet to finalize the deal, hopefully by this year-end, which may provide a strong uplift to India's export categories, including the ready-made garments. Additionally, the U.K. FTA, which has already been concluded and will be implemented very soon, will position Indian exporters to a benefit and with tangible gains, which are expected from financial year 27 onwards. We remain positive to capture this increased demand. Our diversified model, strong customer relationships, solid order book is providing us the resilience and the flexibility, reinforcing our confidence in sustaining this consistent performance over the next few quarters as well. Let me now share some updates for each geographies. I will start with the Vietnam operations. So here our momentum is continued. We have a revenue and volume growth during this quarter, reflecting the success of strategic foresight and the investment that we have been making out here. Also, it is supported by the favorable tariff regime across US, European Union, UK, etc., and having strong trade linkages. Vietnam continues to enhance our competitiveness in major markets. It is encouraged by the strong customer traction, and we plan to explore additional capacities in Vietnam to further deepen our customer engagement and increase their wallet share. Similarly, like for Indonesia, also has delivered good robust growth in both volume and revenue for this quarter, complemented the strong performance which came from Vietnam as well. Following the successful relocation of our factory from the waterside to the interior, we are steadily regaining the business and meeting the rising customer demand by consistently delivering the value. The migration of sourcing out of China is definitely helping Vietnam and Indonesia to further strengthen our positions and giving us the confidence to sustain this momentum in coming quarters as well. In Guatemala, our Central American operations continue to gain customer interest from US especially. It is supported by the reduced transit time to the USA and only 10% reciprocal tariff with zero FTN duty or MFN duty. So while the initial setup phase involved certain challenges and losses last year, this has narrowed this quarter, and we are expecting to decline further in the second half of financial year 26, thus improving the traction and driving gradual recovery for us in this market. Bangladesh continues to be a strong growth driver for PGIL, benefiting from the already existing FTAs due to their LDC status, the least developed country status. This is across key markets of European Union, the UK, Australia, and China. So naturally, this country has still a lot of horsepower and advantage in garment exports. So we continue to leverage Bangladesh's tariff advantages. We have sustained strong customer demand and competitive pricing. Our CAPEX plan remains firmly on track, targeting an additional capacity of 5 to 6 million pieces, which will drive efficiency improvements and reinforce our leadership in the sustainable manufacturing through upgraded washing facility as well. In India, where our standalone revenue is at 531 crore in the first half of financial year 26, adjusted EBITDA, excluding the ESOP, stands at rupees 30 crore, and which is margin of 5.7%, excluding the impact of tariff and the related costs of Bihar, this will stand at 7.2% EBITDA. Now, driven by the CAPEX and the strong global network, Pearl Global is well positioned for sustainable growth and further robust order book across all our regions. And it is coupled with the disciplined execution, reinforcing our ability to deliver long-term value and maintain this momentum. With our robust order book, continued focus on the strategic execution and a diversified geographic presence, we feel that we are very well positioned to sustain this growth momentum and deliver long-term value to all of you. Now I will hand it over to Sanjay, our group CFO, who can provide the detailed overview of the quarter two and the first half of financial year 26. Sanjay, over to you.
Thank you, Pallav. Welcome to our Quarter 2 and H1 FY26 earning call. I will now take you through our financial and operational performance. H1 FY26. Revenue crossed Rs. 2,500 crore milestone, reaching 2,541.1 crore, a 12.7% year-on-year growth driven by high value-added product sales in Vietnam and Indonesia. Adjusted EBITDA, excluding ESOP expense, stood at rupees 236 crore, up by 18.4% in H1 FY26 at margin of 9.3%. Adjusted EBITDA margin, excluding tariff cost of 21 crore in H1 and loss at new facilities, Guatemala and Bihar, stands at 10.6%. PAT in H1 FY26 grew to rupees 138 crore, a growth of 17% on year-on-year basis. Quarter 2 FY26 for group results. For quarter 2 FY26, total revenue stood at rupees 1,313 crore, an increase of 9.2% year-on-year. Adjusted EBITDA, excluding ESOP expense, came in at rupees 122 crore, up by 23.6% year-on-year, with margin of at 9.3% improved by 108 bps year-on-year. Adjusted EBITDA margin, excluding tariff costs in India and loss at in new operations, stands at 10.1%. PAT rose to 72 crore, making a 29.4% growth year-on-year. Now, talking about the standalone financial performance, H1 FY26 revenue stand at rupees 531 crore, adjusted EBITDA stand at rupees 30 crore. Adjusted stand at rupees 30 crore grew by 72.7% year-on-year. Adjusted EBITDA margin at 5.7% grew by 258 bps year-on-year. Adjusted EBITDA margin, excluding tariff cost, for rupees 8 crore stand at 7.2%. PAT stand at rupees 41 crore compared to rupees 27 crore in H1 FY25. Quarter 2 FY26 revenue stand at rupees 264 crore. Quarter 2 FY26 adjusted EBITDA stand at 11 crore, EBITDA margin at 4%. And PAT stand at 15 crore compared to 12 crore in quarter 2 FY25. Our strong performance at the group level is reflected in our strengthened balance sheet. Net worth as on 30th September 2025 stood at rupees 1,271 crore compared to rupees 1,146 crore as on 31st March 2025. Cash and bank balance, excluding cash earmarked for LC payment, stood at rupees 416 crore with an additional rupees 128 crore investment in mutual fund and fixed deposit, totaling to rupees 544 crore as on 30th September compared to 513 crore as on 31st March 2025. Working capital days stood at 33 days as on 30th September 2025. ROCE improved by 375 bps to 29% in H1 FY26 from 25.2% in H1 FY25. Other key highlights, despite global headwinds and tariff uncertainty, our operational performance remained steady year-on-year. We shipped 19.9 million pieces, highest in quarter 2 series. Total number of pieces shipped rose to 37.1 million in H1 FY26 from 36 million pieces in H1 FY25. In line with our stated dividend policy and commitment to shareholder return, the board has declared an interim dividend of Rs. 6 per share for H1 FY26, representing a 20% payout ratio with respect to group PAT and 120% of face value. PGIL holding company received a total dividend of approximately 32 crore in H1 FY26 from our subsidiary company, Nopnit Industry in Bangladesh and Pearl Global SK Limited from Hong Kong. This is in line with fungibility of cash across group entity. The company has been consistently declaring dividend from subsidiary company in Bangladesh and Hong Kong since FY22. We have upgraded to e-flow non-bubble technology, replacing traditional water-based washing in Bangladesh. This advancement enables us to up to 32% water saving, 9% reduction in power consumption, and 20% improvement in time efficiency. Also, with solar projects installed in India, the renewable energy consumption has increased substantially to 35%. On the capital expenditure front, we are progressing well in line with our plans, with a committed outlay of Rs. 250 crore for FY26. Of this, Rs. 134 crore has already been utilized towards capacity expansion and technology upgrade, ensuring timely execution to support our future scalability. Construction of the apparel manufacturing unit in Bangladesh is in full swing and is targeted for completion by quarter 2 FY27. Out of Rs. 110 crore allocated, Rs. 65 crore has already been committed. In India, Bihar capacity expansion with an allocation of Rs. 20 crore has been fully completed and the project is now in the process of commercialization. Construction of laundry facility in Bangladesh is in full swing and is targeted for completion by quarter 2 FY27. Out of Rs. 90 crore allocated, Rs. 33 crore has been committed. Other planned capex of 25 crore for replacement and efficiency improvement, Rs. 11 crore has already been committed. In summary, we have delivered a resilient quarter of growth, maintaining healthy margin despite challenging macro environment. As we look ahead, we remain confident in our strategy, execution capabilities, and long-term value creation. Thank you. With this, I now hand over to the moderator to open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kishore Kumar from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Congrats on showing the resilience and good set of numbers. Sir, my first question is on the volumes that we have done for Q2 and Q1, I mean H1. There's a moderation in volumes. Is it because of postponement by the US customers? And how are you seeing the volume trend going forward? Because India contributes sizable portion of the H2 business for the spring and summer season. What's your plan here, sir?
This particular quarter normally is a little slow in terms of shipping and number, where the volume builds up and then starts going on in the, during the spring summer from India. So I think that is not a big, I would say, a needle mover for as of now. What we are finding is that the order books are robust. Yes, there has been a shift because the U.S. customers who are still who had placed business and are still placing business in India, they have been asking for some mitigation due to this extra penalty tariff and the higher tariff compared to the other countries. So I think there is definitely a less interest for us also to book that business because it will not give us that kind of margin. And the alternate markets are yet to fully kick in. But yes, there are good traction that we have seen from markets of Japan, Australia. Even the European and UK markets are also opening up. So those are the things that we'll see will continue to happen. In terms of India's specific numbers, if you see, we are almost there. It's like a little bit of negative, I think you saw in this particular quarter. But again, that plus minus up down depending on how much of inventory in hand, which, like, you know, sometimes we hand over the goods, but it is not shipped out, not bill of lading is not cleared, so we cannot call it as inventory shipped. So we haven't seen any big switch or big variation in terms of numbers of manufacturing and shipping.
Got it.
And
what's that? Yes, sir, please go ahead, please.
No, repeat the second part of the question once again.
The India business, sir, because from Q3 and Q4, we do a sizable volumes from India to the US for the spring and summer seasons. Given the tariff still going on, what's our plan here? Are we going to do it here or move it to Bangladesh and other countries?
So for us, like if some of it is moved to other countries, then our bottom line would get better, definitely, because India, normally we are forced to give that tariff advantage to these customers. But certain products which are capability is in India and we would like to maintain those minimum lines and all, we are still continuing to do it in India. So this is something Q3 numbers are, as I said, the order books are looking fine. Q4 also, like, you know, the booking will be happening now. If there is a good announcement from both the countries of US and India on in terms of some tariff agreement and a settlement, which too much news is coming up, but we haven't seen the actual result.
Yeah.
If that happens, I think then we'll see a surge in demand. Otherwise, I think, as you see, like, you know, the number growth at this point of time with this negative margins is not advisable. So we'll not push for the number growth at this point of time unless until this tariff thing is clear for the US market. For all other markets, we are aggressive and we will continue to grow.
Got it, sir. Got it. So my second question is on the tariff impact in Q2. So we can see only marginal impact in the business due to the ongoing tariffs. Could you please help us understand how much was actually given as a discount by Pearl and how much was actually passed on to the value chain? And the remaining would be taken by the brands, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management seems to be disconnected. Kindly hold while we reconnect them. Ladies and gentlemen, the management is back in line with us. Thank you for holding. So please go ahead. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, Pallav, you are audible.
Like, you know.
Now we can hear you.
Okay. So I was speaking to Mr. Kishore.
Yes, yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, yeah.
Hanji, what
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Sir, I was asking about the impact of tariff. Actually, in Q2, we see a marginal impact that is lesser than what we had in the Q1. How much discounts we gave it to the brands and our customers, and then how much was passed on to the value chain? Could you please, like, help us understand that, Matt?
So it is depending on the kind of negotiation and business understanding that we have. So most of the US customers are asking for mitigating the 25% penalty, which on an FOB value or the first cost, first sale value, works out to be approximately around 14 to 15% discount to mitigate that 25% tariff. So this is the ask from most of the US customers. And then comes the negotiation and what kind of, you know, other services that we are providing to them. So on that basis, we try to negotiate. So this is the current status. So yes, there are at least about three of the customers where we are not sizable big customers where we are not giving any discounts, and the others we are giving discounts depending on the negotiations that we could manage to have with them.
Understood, sir. And one final question before I move to the queue: can we expect similar margin impact in the coming quarter as well on tariffs if that sustains for a full quarter?
See, the strategy for the company is, like, you know, if I look at last year, at this point of time, almost about 60% plus exposure was there to the US market from India. So this year, I think that proportion has changed. So we have already reduced the US exposure. And now it is just below, I think, 50% at this point of time. Out of which also we are trying to move out some of the customers where we don't have to pay the tariff discounts or this kind of advantages that they're asking for. So that is our effort. As it continues, then the impact will continue to get lesser and lesser going forward. So, and in the meantime, like, if a deal is struck between both the governments, then definitely this will be behind us. So only time will tell what happens. But yes, for our business, business strategies are in place, so that we don't have to really depend big time on the US market and continue to grow our business as we have promised to all of you.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. I'll join with you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. I repeat, participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sharma from Dalmas Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So sir, just like you mentioned that we have reduced our revenue contribution from the US to approximately 50% from 86% in FY21. So I just wanted to, you know, understand your thoughts on how do you see this development in this geographical mix 3 to 5 years down the line? And if we are to reduce our concentration of the US markets, so which are the markets we are looking to expand into?
So we had given a roadmap for Pearl Global to do 6,000 crore by 2028. So we, on that, what are the strategies that we had put in place? That is continuing. Rather than depending on only one major market, we had taken a call to diversify our market base. And yes, like so each of the markets, we do try to build our expertise upon, depending on what are the forecast of that particular market, how the sentiments are, whether the market is experiencing any growth or not. So those are things that plays into our strategy as we push where we need to push more and where we need to push less. At this point of time, as US, there were a lot of economists were forecasting that there could be some impact on the tariff. And what we also saw the sentiment in most of our retailers is to buy conservatively and keep their open to buy for later date as much as possible. So keeping that in mix, definitely we were accelerating much more in the other markets. So that's the result that we are seeing as of now. Now, if you are talking about 3 to 5 year horizons, what I'm finding is due to various geopolitics and fast changing economic scenario and the macro factor changes that's happening in our world now, I think it will be too long to focus for 3 to 5 years about each of the market where it will be very, you know, deterministically. I would say we will be flexible. We are now have a good share and good understanding of all the markets. So wherever we find opportunity and sustainable opportunity, we'll continue to push for that. So today, across the markets of Australia and Japan and Europe and that is Spain and UK, we have got captured some sizable brands and will continue to grow their wallet share.
Understood. And so just, you know, continuing from this volume, you know, lower volume growth in the first half of FY26 of around 3%, whereas, you know, it was around 30% last year. So I just wanted to, you know, check with you whether is it a constraint on our capacity which is limiting this volume growth?
No, our capacities we have built up. We are ready to do more depending on how the markets are reacting. So I think I just say answered the first gentleman to Mr. Kishore also. Like, you know, in terms, we don't, haven't seen a huge decline in the number, but yes, like the growth which we are talking about is slow at this point of time because of some of these macro factors. But we are still continuing to grow. And you will see that growth happening in the second half as well.
Okay, and one last thing, what would be our capacity currently at the group level?
So our capacity at the group level remain at 93.6 million pieces, plus there is a production which is under the construction of new facility in Bangladesh undergoing. Bihar is just started the commercialization, so as the ramp up happens, that capacity will keep on adding with the commercialization of the full installed machine. So we'll keep updating on that installation. However, what we stated with the capex committed, we will be in excess of 100 million pieces in terms of installed capacity, and with the high value add and partnership, I think by mid of next financial year, we would be ready to ship almost 100 million pieces by middle of H1 end of FY 2026-27. So that's what our trajectory was. We mentioned that we are in line with that.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Shraddha Agarwal from AMSEC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on a great quarter despite macro challenges. Two questions. How are we looking at demand in the U.S. when retail prices start to move up? Because what we understand is currently retailers are holding back pricing on the inflation to the end consumer there.
Yes, that is correct. What we are seeing is what was expected, that more and more price ticket will change. That has not yet happened. There have been surgically, most of the retailers are trying to increase the price ticket wherever they are finding that they can get a better price only on those styles of those programs. They are increasing the price ticket. So yes, this change, I think, in terms of price points will be slow in U.S. So that means most of the retailers are still holding on to their core and basic price points by pressurizing the supply chain and absorbing some of the cost themselves. But still, I'm not seeing that they're aggressively buying also. So they're just maintaining the number. They're keeping certain open to buy close to the season because they're just like waiting and watching kind of scenario that we are seeing in U.S. more.
So in that context, how do we look at our order book number for the next spring season across geographies? As in across our manufacturing facilities in India?
Yeah, so you see what we have as Pearl specifically, how we are doing, we have been growing the customer base also. So we have been targeting as always, which are the customers who are growing or who are able to gain market share. We are trying to gain more wallet share from them. On if you're not working with them, then we are making an entry to work with them. So this addition of new kind of customers continues at Pearl. So we are not looking forward to a big challenge in terms of getting our numbers. So that's why order book is as per our plan across the geographies. In India specifically, because of the high tariff and the high discount situation that comes in, we are not aggressively pushing for U.S. market business.
Right. And so just one basic understanding question. You indicated that to mitigate the 30% reciprocal tariff, incremental reciprocal tariff impact of India, a 15% discount on FOB is sufficient. So I didn't get the math. So how is 15% offsetting the 30% incremental reciprocal tariff?
So it is not for 30%, it's for the 25% penalty. So if you see a $10 garment, when it lands in US, you have to pay the tariff. So that 25% tariff means $10 will land at $12.50, a penalty which is there. So that will make it to $12.50. Now, if you decrease this $10 to, let's say, 15%, which will be about 8.5, then it will, with this penalty tariff, it lands at that 12.50. So that way the math works out that you have to give approximately 15% of discount in your first cost to get to the same price point. That's how it works out. So you can work it out in the math.
Okay. And from countries like Vietnam and Indonesia, what has been the extent of tariff sharing that we've done with retailers? Any quantification, broad quantification also would be helpful.
So when this 10% tariff was implemented, that time most of the retailers had asked for some partnership, which I think was impacting us almost about close to just below 2%, but close to 2%. Some of those are still continuing, and they will be, I think they tried us to, requested us to anniversary that. So if I look at when the 10 became 20% or 19 to 20%, because that's the time the negotiation of the customer was weak, because everywhere they could go to source, it would be similar kind of tariff. So we didn't see significant growth when the tariff went from 10 to 20. So I think we are continuing in that approximately 1 to 2% in the other market, which I think now would slowly, like as we go into the next season or the new season, we try to build up that cost into the cost. But that's the kind of understanding with the customer so far.
Right. So if assuming this tariff situation were to continue for another quarter, so the full impact of tariff would be felt in 3Q. So in that sense, 3Q would be the bottom and hopefully by 4Q things get resolved. So can we expect margins to go back to the pre-tariff structure, or structurally do you see a lower margin profile given pricing negotiations that would continue at least on the new 20% tariff which has become the base now?
As I just said, like, you know, when it becomes 20% and if you know it before booking the business, then you try to factor in that kind of in your costing. So a style, when the tariff was implemented, we had already an order book from the customer. So the customers came and said, okay, now we have placed the business. We didn't factor this tariff. So give us a discount so that, you know, you can mitigate that tariff. Now, when the new season comes, and if the customer says, okay, give me a 2% discount, even before finalizing the cost. So that's where, as a supplier, we do have a little bit of leverage to build up that kind of, you know, costing in our costing. So that, I would say, like that risk goes away or reduces. But for India, where the penalty is still there and the numbers are too big, there it will continue to have an impact, whatever business of US that we do with India. Sanjay, would you like to add?
Yeah, hi. So, I mean, on the margin perspective and the tariff impact, which is more from India business in quarter three and quarter four, we are pretty confident despite that tariff impact, which is there on some of the sales which is happening from India to US. The overall margin profile of the company should remain in the similar range what we had last year. We do not foresee any kind of challenge in maintaining or maybe making all our efforts to improve that.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Tejas Gutka from Electrum Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Pallav sir. Yeah, very heartening to see the results from the current environment. Couple of questions. I go back to that flattish volume. You know, volumes are flattish, revenues have grown. So clearly there is some realization bump up. So if you could just give some color on that.
Yeah, sure, Tejas. So the revenue growth of H1 is around 12.7%. So as you rightly noticed, there is a 3.5% of quantity increase. The rest is a price increase. And one of the reason for increase in the sales is that, you know, the high value added product in Vietnam and Indonesia have grown faster compared to the decrease in sale of the lower value addition. Overall, the composition of the customer mix and the product mix have gone favorably towards a higher realization, and which is sustainable as we go, you know, in future year as well. And that's what has led to growth in revenue.
So, fair to assume that as the tariff overhangs kind of come off, if and when, then this would also improve our margin profile?
Sure. I mean, you rightly observed it. Fundamentally, if you look at the construct of the business, which we have stated as one of the commentary, that if we remove the reciprocal tariff, we would have been looking at, you know, more than 10% consecutively for these two quarter in this financial year and also quarter four of last financial year. And so you, as the tariff situation improves with the India, between India and US, definitely we are already poised to, you know, double digit EBITDA margin to business wise constructively, and then it will improve further from that level.
So that's very heartening to hear. The second question was, you know, the 6,000 crore target by FY28, you know, if we continue at the current pace, looks like very easily achievable. So, is there, do you think there's a need to revisit that target, maybe, you know, target something higher?
So, I just had a couple of points. Yeah, you rightly said the point on acceleration. So, as I earlier mentioned about the capacity reaching that in excess of 100 million pieces by mid FY 26-27. which means the shipment number of pieces can definitely be accelerated against what we stated by FY 2028. So we are on a path of capacity additions. We do have capacity leverage available in India as well, and elsewhere, the capacities are also getting created. So we will be well positioned to capture any such opportunity which will be there, assuming this tariff situation goes off and there are other FTA with India also get materialized from an implementation perspective while we continue to grow in the rest of the geographies.
Great. And the last bit was the aspiration towards 12% margins. Assuming nothing changes on the tariff, does that aspiration still continue?
Yes. Aspiration is there, 100%. We are definitely working towards it and seeing that how each how the businesses become more and more resilient and can withstand any such challenges while we still maintain our target of 12% EBITDA.
So we have identified all the levers, and how the lever one of the levers is definitely getting slowed down because of this tariff on India. Otherwise, I think all other levers are still in some kind of action.
That's great to hear. Super. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Congratulations on a very good set of numbers. So my first question is regarding if you can mention the exact capacity addition we are planning for FY 2027 year closure, because well, you mentioned about 100 million getting crossed by FY 2026 or mid of FY 2027. If you can provide some capacity numbers for FY 2027 and 2028, broad numbers is also fine.
So FY 2027, with all the CapEx which is already undergoing, we should be in excess of 100 million pieces. Plus, there are other CapEx opportunity or the partnership opportunity are being explored in overseas location as well. With that, we should be inching towards 110 million approx number. We need to really do the math about how timing of when this partnership facility gets materialized. But we should be looking at 110 million by 110-115 million by end of FY 2027. And for FY 2028, I think we can update you as we go into the next quarter and reach year-end FY 2026. And once the board approves all the CapEx plan, I think I'll be in a position to add more on that. However, as we stated earlier, by FY 2028, our endeavor is to have partnership plus in-house capacity of 130-135 million pieces. We are still working in that direction. That's what the direction we have internally, and we are working towards it.
Perfect, sir. And with respect to the overall mix of Vietnam and Indonesia increasing, can we expect that the overall realizations would gradually start inching towards 700 mark on a consolidated basis, on a full-year basis as well?
See, full-year basis, see, H1 is always where we have much of the business, but the construct of the business is always evolving both in Vietnam and Indonesia as well. So there is definitely a possibility of improvement in overall realization for the full year. Now, whether it reaches 700 or remains 675, 680, or 705, that is something we, if the business situation keeps evolving, we'll keep operating on that. As we look at number of H1, we have close to 700 realization at H1 of this financial year, which is largely because of the value addition products which are being sold in Vietnam and Indonesia. So yes, we are definitely improving it. Now, how much improvement leads us to 700? That is something we will keep you updating as the strategy keeps evolving.
Got it. And sir, how much maximum capacity utilization can we reach, say, for example, even for FY 2027, if we are closer to 110 million pieces? Can we touch like a 90% capacity utilization mark or 80-85, something realistic to work with?
For the new facilities, normally full operation takes a couple of years. So that's where I think the number is slightly low. Maybe like 80-85 is the highest I think would be possible at any point of time if there are new facilities that are involved. Otherwise, if the facilities are continuously running, then achieving 90-95% is not difficult for us. That's how it plays out. Because we were continuously growing, that's why we said that, you know, we were keeping a target of at least 120 million plus capacity to achieve 100 million of shipment. That's how we had planned it.
Got it, sir. And just one last thing on the Bangladesh laundry facility, if you can just quantify how much margin improvement can we see because of that on the overall numbers on consolidated basis, maybe in a year or a two time frame. Yeah.
So if you, you know, refer to the commentary which is mentioned on the CAPEX return on capital employed, we see that internal return on capital employed by way of saving in washing cost and other efficiency should be 18 to 20%. Now the CAPEX amount which is mentioned here is around 90 crore rupees. So I guess you can just do that mathematics around, you know, where it will lead to in terms of the margin improvement once the capacity get fully functional. So we should be like, you know, S2 it get commercialized. So I think by all probability FY 27-28 should be the full year for us to reap that cost advantage and the economies there. And so the reflection will be there. But the number, exact number, we'll work it out and share with you maybe in the next earning call as we reach closer to the capitalization of the plant and commercialization.
Sure, sir. And just on the India business, we've added some new customers. If you can name them, whom have we targeted, if you can provide some qualitative or quantitative data as well.
No point going into that kind of detail as of now. Yes, India, what we have done is we have opened up some domestic brands as well as adding other customers internationally. Now, as we add customers, initially the traction is low. First of all, it's more of a trial order that they give us and we execute it. And then we build up that relationship and confidence and then start giving them the design on which gets picked up. So normally our observation is that to add a new customer, it takes at least about, you know, 5 to 6 months to really start moving on traction. And then yes, once the delivery has happened, that means, like, you know, after the first year, we see acceleration as we try to gain the wallet share of that particular customer. So we continuously are on the plan of adding customers. We don't publish the in the beginning, but the top big ones, the top 6 or 7 or 8 that we have been sharing with you always.
Got it. Fair enough. Thank you so much for the elaborate answer and all the best for the coming quarters. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you
very much. The next question is from the line of Prerna Junjunwala from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations on strong set of numbers despite this tariff headwinds and stuff. Just wanted to understand that, you know, you have let go of some volumes and also some realization. So if these actions were not taken, what would have been your revenue this quarter?
Sorry, Prerna, I didn't get your question. Why should we let go of our revenue?
I'm just saying that some volumes were let go on because some business you did not want to do in the US
clarify that. Let me clarify to that. See, yeah. What happens is India has got a tariff. So the customers are there with us. Customers are strategic and customers have been working with us. It's not like they're just coming and going kind of customers. They are stable customers. So rather than executing that program in India, if we execute it outside of India, then we don't have to pay for this penalty. My customer doesn't have to pay for this 25% penalty tariff. So if we execute in India, they then say request us to compensate that penalty tariff. So that is why sometimes it's prudent not to execute from India and to execute it from the other countries, wherever possible. It's not every case it is possible, but under no circumstances, I think it's prudent to let go of a business, which is a customer which is coming to buy from you. So that's the correction I would like to make.
Oh, thank you. That clarifies a lot. Yeah. I thought that there's some volumes also that you would have forgone this quarter to some extent, maybe a small quantity. Thanks for the clarification. So you mentioned that there is a 15% odd impact. So is it prudent for us to understand that this revenue, if would be higher by 15% if the tariffs were not there?
Yes, that's for sure, because most of the retailers are still asking to compensate for this extra penalty tariff. So that means most of, not only for Pearl, but anybody who is exporting out of India has this challenge. So yes, wherever we can compensate, we try to compensate in terms of our costing or in terms of some other benefit that we try to give to the customers. But yeah, that's the challenge that most of the players in India, including Pearl, has at this point of time for US. So if this tariff goes away, then definitely that advantage comes in. And then, as you said, like, you know, India region, then we can book more business and more aggressively. The customer also comes to India, and Indian manufacturers can aggressively book also from the US. So these two factors will start playing much more if the tariff goes away.
Okay, understood, sir. Rest of the things are clarified. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you
very much. The next question is from the line of Kishore Kumar from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just want to just on the country mix for this quarter.
Mr. Kishore, your voice is very low. Can you please be a little more louder?
Is it okay now?
Yes, sir.
Sir, I just wanted to understand the country mix for this quarter. We did about 50%. How much went from India to the US and from the rest of the country? And could you please quantify the other geography mix as well?
So, as a overall, as a company, US is contributing, that means the goods which are moving into US is just below 50%. What we saw is about 48.some% was going into US. And I think it's pretty much similar for India at this point of time. For countries like Indonesia, where the exposure to US is high, in Vietnam also is slightly higher. Bangladesh and India, I think it compensates so that overall it comes down to 48-49%.
Other geographies, sir?
Other geography means other markets. So, yes.
Yes, sir. Japan, Australia, UK, Europe.
So, basically, like if you talk about Spain and Japan are the next big ones that we have, we should be around, I think, anywhere between 15-17%. And then followed by the Australia and UK. And rest
got
of
it,
people.
Sir. Understood.
So that's no.
Understood.
This is the note.
Yes, sir. And on the volume guidance front, you actually mentioned about the margin sustainability. On the volume front, H2 can we, because the last H2 was a higher base. Can we expect similar volumes, or should we expect higher volumes as the business comes back?
So we are seeing a good, robust order book. Like, you know, whatever we had done last year, we have already crossed that number in terms of our order booking and all. So that way, I think we are progressing. Last year, our overall number grew almost close to about 30%. I don't think this year would be such a high growth, but it's an upward trend. We will be growing the business.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmas Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congrats to the management team for navigating this situation fairly well. I have just one question. I'm just trying to understand, you know, in the process of navigating through this, you know, kind of trade war and the kind of experience that we are going through. What is the kind of learning or what is the kind of inference or experience that we are gaining that is helping us shape our strategy for the next 3 to 5 years? You know, sometimes these situations throw in certain kind of understanding that we get either from the customer side or we end up taking something on the cost side, which helps us benefit even in the future, whether the situation stays or not. If you could share certain learnings that has come across.
Yeah. So you see, like, you know, the core basics, like basically the core basics has to be strong. That means the manufacturing expertise that we are bringing onto the table, that has to continue to grow because we are ultimately manufacturing and we are competing across the globe. And I think that as a company, we are continuing to invest upon. Then comes the second one is the diversified market. I think that was both in terms of manufacturing base as well as the customer base. I think that's something you have been tracking Pearl for quite a long time, and you had a lot of conversation with us. And I think you had that visibility that we have been always talking and strongly believing in that, and which is giving us a result at this point of time, which you are seeing. So these are the two, I think, is definitely. And then, of course, like, you know, the other things that we had built up as our strength is helping us. Sanjay, why don't you add those?
Yeah, I think the learning on the capital allocation discipline and the policy, which we consistently have applied for the last year, 3 years, have been really great learning for us and paved the foundation very clearly that, you know, we should be continuing and while strengthening and making amends wherever it's required. And then, you know, being open to look at an opportunity as and when the industry offers us that, you know, which we saw in last year in Bangladesh growth, having the good sound balance sheet and the financial discipline really help in terms of capturing those opportunity which
every disruption will give us.
With the disruption. Option. So I think we have kind of, you know, made that financial discipline and governance and capital allocation, which really kind of be ready in a situation as and when the opportunity comes, keep on accelerating growth. And diversification, which Pallav mentioned, is definitely is there.
I think you already saw that diversification, strong in design presence across all the markets, and of course, the manufacturing expertise that we are bringing onto the table to our customers. So these three things,
right,
followed by all the discipline, yeah, differently is going to play us.
But, you know, while we have been more diversified versus some of our peers, I think even still the top five clients tend to be still a heavy portion for us. So I'm just trying to understand that in the next 3 years, are you able to therefore force a higher level of diversification now, given that some of your clients would definitely probably be wanting to work with you, having, you know, given that you have a more diversified sourcing model and they may want a partner like that. So are you able to push that agenda a lot more to be able to say that, you know, I can now steer it in a way such that based on the top clients, I mean, I can further diversify it a lot faster than the trend that has been.
Yeah. So you see, like, you know, one of the things to make it more efficient, I would always keep my 50% of the business approximately in the top five. Because where much more strategic approach can be done by both the sides. Of course, these five can change depending on their financial strength and their marketing strength. So if a company is growing, if my top five is growing, then I grow. So that's something is important. So this top five may change, but I think that, you know, what you call concentration or consolidation of the top five at least about, you know, 50% of the total business will always help in terms of bringing in much more efficiency for the organization. And then the balance 50% is a place where always there will be a dynamic change. Like, who are the performers who are growing market share and their wallet shares among their clients are the ones that we would always be interested in. So that it's always a healthy combination at both sides.
Okay. So in the balance 50%, are we able to have, let's say, a lot more clients in, say, next 3 years than we currently have?
Yes, that I think as we grow on strength, definitely the diversification is happening.
Okay, got it. Great. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Manju Bhashini from Ask Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hello, team. Good afternoon. Congratulations on the set of numbers given the uncertainty and the macro side. So my first question is, On the volume side, a lot of people try to understand what is constraining the volume growth. I think this is coming from the fact that if you see the first half of last year, there was a very good growth on an average first half of last year, delivered close to 41% growth, and that continued in Q3 as well. Now that we are at an average of 3% volume growth for the first half of F26, so how should we take things in the second half, assume things in the second half? Is it going to be flat compared to the second half of last year, or you think there is still some growth visibility that one has as of now?
Yeah. Let's look at revenue growth. I think there are some technicality around the minutes which are getting produced with number of pieces. We are looking to grow in H2 as well, basis the order book visibility we have, which looks strong for the H2. Yeah, there should be growth. Talking about the growth number at this point in time, I think.
Yeah. I can try to explain this to you, because we are in a fashion and not absolutely a basic commodity kind of business. The number of pieces may vary up and down, but our capacity is getting fulfilled. That means if my machines are making a 20 minutes garment or they are making a 25 minutes garment, so that my productivity and my earnings or my growth of sales revenue, that will continue to grow. It will depend on what kind of order opportunity that we are getting and what kind of business fashion trend that we are catering to. Yes, maybe you saw a 3% growth, but I don't think you should be too much focused on that. You might see a bigger number in the second half, depending on how it is. Sometimes, if you're getting a huge amount of a big order size of a jersey order or a basic tees order, then the number will significantly show a growth. And sometimes, if it's a jacket or outerwear or pants which are growing compared to a t-shirt, then the overall number may not look so healthy. But I think overall, we are in a growth path. So we are not seeing any change in that.
Understood, sir. And the first half, we grew by 12% on the top line front. So should we aspire to grow higher than this number in the second half, or a similar run rate of growth should be achieved?
No, our aspiration is definitely higher.
Got it, sir. And just one more thing on some of the capacity getting shifted away. Before I go to that, so earlier I think what we had indicated was 15% to 16% of your overall consolidated sales is what goes into the US geography. Is there any change to that?
Yes, sir. About 3 years, 3 to 3.5 years back, we were at almost 86% plus exposure in the US market. That as this growth has happened, we have really diversified into the other market. That's why the US goods which is shipping into the US is around 49% as of now, as I was just mentioning. But there are certain US customers who are based out of US but are global brands. So naturally, if I have to talk in terms of those customers, then our exposure is almost about 60% plus.
This is on the US customers, on the overall customer base. So some of the US customers may take the delivery of the orders in non-US regions as well, correct?
Yes.
So now I'm trying to understand from the sales mix, in currency terms, how much of it gets landed into US geography?
Around 49% of our total turnover as of now.
Okay, so 49% of overall.
Sorry, just to add that, I think 15-16% which you mentioned was India export to US. That's what was captured in earlier.
That is, yeah. If you talk of India, which is doing about 25% of the total turnover, and there almost 50% of it, 50 to 60% of it was going to US. So in the total turnover, the US component from India works out to be about 15%. I think that's the number if you are mixing up with. Does it make sense to you now?
Yeah. So let's say for first half of 2500 crore sales made, 15% of 2500 lands up in US. That is how I should understand it. Right?
From India.
From India. Okay. Globally
would be out of this 2,500 crore, almost about 1,250 crores would be, just below 1,250 crores would be landing into US.
Okay, understood. And the incremental capacity addition that is happening from Indonesia, Vietnam and Bangladesh, let us assume the tariff situation doesn't ease out. The things continue on a status quo basis. So can incremental volume, which could have gone from India, be supported from the other geography?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. And even if the situation continues status quo, you are guiding for a flattish EBITDA margin in F26 vis-a-vis F25. There may not be any reduction in the EBITDA margin, even if the tariff situation continues. That is the commentary you made earlier.
As we mentioned that we are very confident of maintaining the same EBITDA margin, and we are making all our efforts to make an improvement. As we have seen the improvement in H1 number, we are definitely trying to see for H2 also improvement compared to last year number. So the full year, we are either at the same level or
Quite better.
That's what our endeavor is.
Oh, got it. Thank you, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you to all participants. In H1 FY26, the company delivered strong performance despite a challenging and uncertain environment. Our diversified multi-country manufacturing model has been instrumental in driving the growth, and we remain optimistic about sustaining the momentum through our strategic CAPEX initiative. In case of any further queries, kindly reach out to our SGA, our Investor Relations Advisor, or Shishir, our Head Investor Relations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Pearl Global Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.